Yes, sir. Coming up on a jam-packed episode, we ask the question, is Kyrie Irving ready to lead the Brooklyn Nets in this upcoming season in their pursuit of a title? Not only that, though, how many players would Doug Norrie take ahead of Kyrie? Bit of a tease, friends. We're going to break it all down and how Kevin Durant, Kyrie, and Ben Simmons can still fulfill the hopes of so many Nets fans right after the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
That's right. It is the Locked On Nets podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. I'm Adam Marbeck covering the New York Football Giants over on the One Giant podcast with my boy Andy Makowicz. Over there, it is Doug Norrie, owner-operator DFSR for all your daily fantasy sports rankings from FanDuel, DraftKings. He's got you covered. We thank you for making us your first listen of the day, free on all those great platforms, and let you know today's episode is going to be brought to you by Prize Picks. It is, of course, where you want to go, prizepicks.com using promo code NBA, or go to the App Store and download it today. Prize Picks is, of course, daily fantasy made easy. Doug, let's just keep talking in a much more positive light. We're gonna get into some of the ancillary pieces around Kyrie Irving and how they can be impacted, obviously, in a very positive way, as long as Kyrie is locked in and ready to go for this season. And we've knocked him. We've beat him up when he's done some of his more eccentric things. Coming out of last week's podcast where he talked with Kevin Durant, let's go positive. There was a lot of things here that suggest this guy's ready to go.
Yeah, look, Kyrie will give you a lot of sound bites, that's for sure. I think that it's actually not a media play. It's definitely not a media play on his part. He just kind of talks, and at times it makes you completely raise your eyebrows, and then at other times he talks, and it makes you nod your head knowingly and kind of agreeing with him. And that's just kind of been the nature of the Kyrie Irving experience so far, basically through his career. I think some of the degrees it's actually ramped up here with Brooklyn, just out of circumstance. But the dude, you know, it's never a lack of information from him. It's just sort of the head scratching piece sometimes is what drives you nuts. But, you know, as we get into this offseason, I think you and I are getting more and more into the mode of, this isn't like a mode that we need to be talked into or whatever, that Kyrie Irving's just going to be a Brooklyn Net for a long time. So at that point, you need to start talking about, you know, seriously, around what the role is and what his, you know, leadership style and all this other stuff and like what to really expect over these next coming years. Because as we get into this offseason, I think there's, you know, almost a certainty, maybe not quite a certainty, that he's going to sign this max extension, and that's going to make him, at least on paper, a Brooklyn Net for a long time. And so it's sort of like buckling up for what that experience is going to be like.
Yeah, it's tricky, man. Like, you know, I feel like, too, we've touched on a lot of different topics here, and we're kind of offering up over the course of this offseason already, hey, if you were presented with this decision, what would be your best version of going forward with it, yeah, right? We talked about the contract. The best version going forward might be saying the good faith, show us on the player option, then we'll reward you. The reality, which I think sometimes gets lost here, is the reality is he's most likely going to be that max guy, and that's why when you hear these quotes that we're going to get into here, it's at least, for whatever it is, you can only take it for what it's worth, it at least frames things that makes you feel like, okay, after everything that's happened over the last three seasons for not just Kyrie Irving, but for the Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie seems to have a sense of how frustrating that's been for the team, maybe for the fan base, and for himself. Whether self-inflicted or otherwise, he feels like he's in a place where he wants to just be able to say, basketball, winning games, winning championships. That is still very much at the forefront of what he wants to accomplish.
Yeah, so he appeared on Kevin Durant and Eddie Gonzalez's podcast, ETC's, last week, and, you know, talked really frankly and honestly about, well, a bunch of stuff. I mean, they basically talked about sort of the scope of the whole season. It's a great podcast. You should go back and listen to it 100% because it does start to give insight into at least what Kyrie, at least retroactively, thinks that his mindset was at the time, right? Like, it's always hard to, by the way, that's not a him thing. I'm no, saying that, like, everyone's like that.
Thing. Everyone.
That's an everyone thing. That's not a, that was definitely not a Kyrie jab. It's like everyone goes back and thinks about what they think they thought at the time. Right. Yeah. That's just, but he had some really interesting quotes, and I thought they were honest, especially for an athlete who, where oftentimes we get very crafted media messages, unless you're Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving, who don't seem to care that much about this stuff. Where at least to start, Kyrie was talking about how he was feeling at the time when the vaccine mandate was put into place. And I'm going to paraphrase some of this because he was talking about how it basically caught him off guard. He didn't think there was going to be any world where he wasn't going to be able to play basketball. Like, he just didn't think that was going to be the case at all. And that, if you think back to that time, that, you know, is 100%. That's what we all thought. It was a big question mark. No one really knew, and no one really knew how long or how stringent these things were going to be. But he, one interesting quote he says, he talks about there was nothing to lose. He said it was a journey. He's big on the journey. He was sitting at home, and then he says, well, I don't even want to say I was sitting home. I was wondering at home what my future was going to look like, you know, whether I was going to be traded, whether I was going to be released, whether I was going to get the opportunity to be on another team, how I was going to spin this for myself in a positive way. So that's the first quote, and I thought that was interesting because that is the first look into his kind of inner workings where he was saying, hey, I didn't actually – not that I didn't have a plan, but – there was a chance this wasn't going to work out. Like, when he's talking about being released or, you know, traded, like, there was definitely a part of him that seemed to think that that was a very real possibility. And I suspect, at least early on in this process, that was probably pretty terrible. to think that there was going to be sort of this externality that was going to, that was really, again, 100% non-basketball related at all. It wasn't even really Kyrie. Frankly, I was just going to put it wasn't even Kyrie Irving related at all. And it was going to lead to him being on another team. And I thought talking honestly about that was an interesting window into just at least how, like, again, he thinks he was thinking at the time. What did you think when you heard that?
Well, the interesting you said about, like, spinning it in his own mind, right? Which is, it's interesting to then contextualize when he speaks about different circumstances, basketball on or off the court, that once something occurs, and again, this isn't a unique thing to Kyrie, but you process it through a filter of, why does this make sense for me? Why is this a positive thing for me? Why was this the right decision for me? Whether it's going to Boston and then deciding I don't want to be here anymore, I'm going to move on. But I'm going to frame that in a way that makes sense for me, that this was the right decision to make. Ultimately, I still look at it as, again, honest from the standpoint of, it's not like I came into this season with a set of stipulations or circumstances that we were all aware of. And I wasn't sure how I was going to go through it, how the team was going to go through it. You get a little bit blindsided with a lot of this stuff, and everyone makes their choices, including, and Kevin Durant falls into this category too, right? The team makes a choice at the beginning of the year. Kevin Durant's okay with that, or he accepts that as being the thing. And all of a sudden, Kyrie Irving is sitting there watching basketball get played, not entirely sure, knowing that this team wants to win championships, not entirely sure if there isn't a reality where they go, well, no Kyrie versus player X, right? Could mean a better opportunity for us. And I could see that being really, yeah, of course I could see that being difficult. Yeah, I could see that being next to impossible to wrap your head around, especially if you're Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, LeBron James. If you're one of the best players in the sport, it's really hard to all of a sudden be put in a circumstance where you don't matter. And that's essentially what this is. You're not there, you don't matter, and no one is particularly concerned about how you're feeling about it.
And then he goes on to say, but I never felt like myself throughout the season, usually sustaining a level of growth throughout the year instead of trying to catch up with everybody that's been playing for 4 or 5 months, which he's saying, like, that's what he had to do, play catch up. They've been at it since day one or October. They've been at it since October or September. So, you know, this is the part where he's probably throwing a little bit of just, you know, the natural order of things for himself as a basketball player to say that, you know, everyone else has been making steady progress. And it's a little bit of an overstatement because everyone deals with injuries. So I get it. But the part where he's, you know, not allowed to come to the facility and not allowed to be part of anything that's happening because of that definitely seems like it throws it off. This is all to say, And I think that, you know, we can probably stop recapping everything he said on ETC. But yeah, the part where he is admitting that this played in the end game a bigger part probably for him than it, you know, than it maybe appeared, because he had been around the team for that long and it seems like he was maybe fully integrated. It's clear that he at this point doesn't feel fully integrated. Here's the thing. I don't actually know if that rings hollow or true for you, because I there's a part of this where it could say, hey, man, like, everyone deals with a bunch of different stuff, so I'm not sure if this totally works. I do think it's him being honest, though. I'm just not sure how it's going to play for everybody.
Well, that's the only thing, and it's not to throw cold water on the sentiment. It's not to over berate his quotes, but for someone who is as unfiltered and honest as Kyrie Irving, it would have been better received had you been hearing this throughout the process, right? Instead, and this is that idea of, right, that, well, this is the way I think I thought about it back then. But back then, the thoughts that you were sharing were not about these things. And it doesn't mean it would have changed it, but there wasn't an expression of frustration around it. It was contextualized to the circumstances that were occurring in the city and all the things that go on that we're not going to relitigate. But it was all around that, right? And it was all around presenting it in a very particular way that became very polarizing. If it was just, hey, man, this is really difficult and it's frustrating and I'm out of rhythm and I'm not sure what happens next and I don't know what's going to be best, better, or worse, I think that it would have been seen differently. And perception being reality, I guess that's all you can go on. But I wonder how I would have thought of it back then if he was sharing these thoughts on a podcast with Kevin Durant in the middle of the season at the beginning, you know, in November, saying, yeah, man, like I'm as lost as anybody on this. I don't know what's going to happen next. And it's pretty difficult to navigate. That would have contextualized things differently for me, at least on a person-to-person level, let alone as a basketball player. Instead, this is a little bit retroactive, but it is what it is, and I'll take the positive that you can get out of this going forward from him.
All right, well, so we'll talk about whether this is like, you know, how we can lead into some leadership talk and how, because essentially for the Nets to win the championship, these guys are going to have to be consummate leaders in kind of every way. I don't think there's really any way around it. We'll talk about whether that's going to be the case, whether or not, I mean, not that there are other options, but like sort of like where they now fall on the hierarchy. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at Prize Picks. You know Prize Picks. We've been talking about this daily fantasy option for the NBA for all season now. That's because it's easy. Prize Picks is easy to use, super fun to play, and they've just made daily fantasy easy. It's all you do is pick 2 to 5 players. You go over, under on their projections, points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, anything. Well, those are the big 5 right there, but you can pile them together with other sports also. MLB, you go strikeouts, you go home runs, all of it's there on Prize Picks. You pick those 2 to 5 players, you can go up to 10x. That's 10 times on any entry. You can make an entry in just 60 seconds or less. Super easy, safe and fast withdrawals. You can't say that about everybody in the industry these days. It's an award-winning app. You can grab it on Apple Store or the App Store or Google Play. Like I said, Prize Picks has made it easier. You're not in there against all the sharks. It's just you versus the projected numbers. And for a limited time, Prize Picks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our users. You're going to get $50 for free if a player on your in your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point. You have to use the promo code NBA, just like your favorite sport. That's right. It's an exclusive offer available for Locked On fans. Sign up today and use the code NBA, $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy.
And then, of course, I got to tell you about our next partner that has a product that I literally use every day, and I literally mean literally, because I started taking AG1 from Athletic Greens because, you maybe heard on the podcast, I said it before, I have the gluten allergy, and that's directly related to my gut health. And I don't have time to wake up and prepare myself the perfectly balanced, healthy diet that's going to help sustain my body and keep me moving. But AG1 allows me to take one scoop, mix it in with water, drink it down, and know that I'm getting myself an opportunity for gut health, energy, optimized immune system, of course, and I don't want to be taking vitamins and pills all day long. I want something that actually tastes great and gets the job done for my body. What is this stuff? Many people ask, like Doug. I say with one delicious scoop of AG1. I'm getting 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens that help me start my day off right. This special blend of ingredients is supporting that gut health, as I said, and your nervous system, not to mention helping to fight that dirty little secret we all hate so much, aging. Why do I consume it? Because it's good for me, it's good for my body, it's good for my overall health, and it's easy for me to get that going and get it done and head out the door. I want to make it easy, and so does AG1. That's why Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NBA Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NBA Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. And so, speaking of insurance, can't take it out on the season and what's going to happen next, but we can all be optimistic. The question that I want to pose to you was, can Kyrie Irving reshape his role for this roster? You said it coming out of that first segment. Can he be, / he has to be, one of the leaders on this team if they're going to get where they want to go? But if we assume all the things we talk about, Kyrie's going to be here, We assume Ben Simmons is going to be healthy. Kevin Durant's going to be back. Does Kyrie Irving need to be a slightly different version of himself in the absence of a James Harden, in the absence of a true facilitator at that point guard position? Does he need to become more of a floor general, to use all these NBA cliches, to maximize what this team can be?
So we already know what Kyrie Irving is, right? He's like among the very best pure scorers ever. He's got one of the best handles you've ever seen in your life. He can finish around the rim over guys much bigger than him because the body control is so sick, and he can finish with both hands. Like, this is all pretty much known around his game. Like, the things that he can do well, he can do better than just about anyone that's ever lived, right? Not even just like people that are in the NBA right now. I mean, like all time being able to score. Very, especially for his size. I always have to qualify that. He's one of the best scorers anyway. For his size, he's one of, like, the list is really, really short. So we all know that. The bigger question, I think, is whether that skill set on its own translates one-to-one to winning, right? And that part, to me, isn't totally clear unless he has other guys around him. I'll use two examples. So the two times where he's been on, like, straight up, either won the championship or was projected to win the championship. And that was with Cleveland. And then it was last year, right? With when they were odds on favorite to win the championship going into the playoffs, and then everyone got hurt. Both of those teams, one had like top five, you know, guys in the NBA, right? And LeBron sure. and Harden, but specifically those guys are excellent facilitators. It's not just that they're top five and they are Joel Embiid, right? Like, they're top five, but they're also guys who are amazing at finding other players on the court in optimal spots, whether that's a good mismatch, whether that's being open, whatever it is. And I do wonder if his skill set, as great as it is, does really to reach the highest level, right? Like, not to just look good, right? It's always going to look good, and it's going to translate to a certain amount of wins. But to reach the highest level, I do wonder if his game specifically needs that sort of facilitator on the court, because I think there's a lot of evidence that it does. And now it's going to beg the question of whether they have. Does that make sense, though? Because I'm trying to only quantify it now in, like, reaching the highest levels, not yeah. just if is he like would I pay for it? Like, if I needed to get a basket at the rim from someone 6'4" and under, yeah, all my money would be on Kyrie. It's not that. It's more of just like what the team, the heights they can reach when you're the second best player on the team. Like, what else the team needs? Because I think there is evidence that something else is needed with him.
Yeah, and that's the, see, we talked about, we posed that question the other day about who should you keep, Seth Curry or Joe Harris? And by the way, the answer can be both of them. Like that can be a part of that response to that question. But when you think about players like that, and when you think about this roster overall, I think this is to your point of, well, you know, Joe Harris is a pure spot-up shooter, okay. And Seth Curry can do things at all three levels, but what do you want him doing most of? Spot-up shooting from beyond the arc. When you have players like that that you want to benefit off your superstar talent, well, then you look at those superstars and you say, are you capable, ready, and willing, and is your game maximized by setting up those guys for success? We saw Kevin Durant do this, where all of a sudden, after the Harden trade, his assist numbers went up and up on a month-by-month basis because it was about, hey, if they're going to come at me, I need to get somewhere else. To your point, I think when Kyrie is at his best, it's when he's attacking. It's when he's acrobatic. It's when he's getting downhill at the rim. But then you need a Kevin Durant. Or, you know, let's just use the end of this season here. You need a Goran Dragic. We saw how good he looked in a few games there in that Boston series, where it was like, hey, we need someone that was built and has constructed his game to be a traditional pure point guard, in the sense of, I'm thinking of everyone else first and then myself. That's why when they got Harden, it was, yeah, that's it, man. I'm going to play off ball. You yeah. do your thing. That's where Kyrie wants to be and where he's best. Now the question becomes, do the Nets have that? Do they have enough of those players that Kyrie can do that and the team can be successful. Right now, I don't know, right? It's a question mark right now.
He has like an assist game and a facilitation game in his bag. I just don't think it's the default. And I think that's more what it is. And right. And so, you know, the Harden example is a good one because there was a very clear hierarchy of offensive initiation last year and it totally worked. And actually the second they kind of got into those roles the second they sort of defined those roles is where everything clicked and the offense was completely unstoppable. One of the best ever, right? It's because it was like, hey, I'll play off ball. I don't need to be a point guard for whatever that means in the current NBA. You be the point guard. James Harden's one of the best all time to ever do it. And this will be at least how we begin initiating offense. When they did not have that player, it was so apparent. Like in the Boston series, it was so apparent that not having that player was one piece that really cost them. It wasn't.
I know people want to go
the length and that really hurt them. And I the things they didn't have, like a wing defender and, you know, a real good, you know, quality 3-and-D guy like these other teams have, like Dorian Finney-Smith or Mikal Bridges, like these other like really, you know, high level dudes. Yes, they were missing that. But really on offense, what they were missing was a facilitator because those guys aren't going to default to that. And it really helps them. They don't need it. Like they both can get baskets on their own, but it helps the whole offense to work in sort of a top-down like sort of methodology around their offense that they just didn't have. And that's why I think there was times, and everyone has said it, is that like you say, oh, the Nets offense looks stagnant. Like how could an offense with these two guys on it look stagnant?
Yeah.
The reason is because you don't have sort of one person picking out matchups. Like you don't have a James Harden, you don't have a Chris Paul, you don't have a Luka Doncic, you don't have a LeBron James. Like these guys that are able to do this, James Harden, did I say Harden? Like are able to do it really, really well. Like that helps each of their games because once you're an ISO scorer, getting yourself into the best ISO matchups, like sometimes takes another person or two to get it going. So that's more of what I'm saying. So does that make sense? Because
yeah.
I think that sometimes, I don't think that would be the thing that most people would say the Nets need, but offensively, I think having a person like that is what really actually shows that it unlocks these guys more than anything else.
When you have Kevin Durant who wants to get to his spot and work his game first, and then everything plays off of that. When you have a Kyrie Irving, he wants to take a guy on, work the dribble, and get to his game first, and everything works off of that. Then you need the James Harden. You need that extra player, right, that's going to say, I'll do the other stuff first, knowing that I'm capable of also scoring, and that's where you lost some of the balance. And by the way, I will say, before we get into a potential replacement for that role on this team, it's you said it already, but not that they're incapable of it, but there would certainly be more than a 30-game adjustment period on the back end of a season where you try to shift what you need to accomplish for the team overall to be good, right? Maybe if they had another half of a season to figure out how do we get successful without having a James Harden here, they could certainly be capable of that. So is it possible? Yes. But again, at their best, it's them doing that, and now who's the third guy?
Yeah, or just having someone really good that recognizes like passing schemes. Like, even Draymond's really good at this, right? Like guys that just can even
that's a really good example.
Like operate an offense. They don't need to be point guards, by the way. They just need to be this was the word, and this was the word I was going to use before, and I forgot. It's connectors. They need a connector. They did not have a connecting piece on their offense, and so that connecting piece does not need to be. And maybe they have it on. We'll talk about this in a second because maybe they have the connecting piece on their roster already. First, going to talk about our friends over at Bet Online, the number one source for all of your betting info, odds, and sports information. Find all the latest odds, news, sports developments, including this year's playoffs. We're rolling through those right now. Major League Baseball, I look at the MLB lines of BetOnline every single night. They got the fight nights going as well. Maybe you want to get into some futures for NFL. It's all there on BetOnline. It's your best source for sports wagering information. They have the live betting, esports, and more. Head on over to betonline.net right now. You can learn about all of the trends and action BetOnline, where the game starts.
So, to your point, is there somebody already on this roster? It brings us to the next question, is can Ben Simmons be the new James Harden? And let's go ahead and not make that a one-to-one comp that we're talking about here. But this one was interesting because we talked about this with Kevin Durant when he was away from the game. Then he came back and it was like, oh, right, here's the reminder. He's one of the best. Even Kyrie, absence makes you kind of lose track of what this guy's capable of. Ben Simmons, for whatever he is not from a shooting perspective, this is a guy that last time we saw him was averaging 14 points a game and giving you 7 assists per game. Like, this is what I wonder, and we talk about him in the point forward kind of role for this team, is can that be the defining characteristic of what Ben Simmons is on this Brooklyn Nets roster, all health assumed as we go into next year, is that enough? If that's what he does, hey, the first thing you need to do is be running the floor, be big, be defensive. We know that. But also, be the guy that wants to set the table first. Be the connector, as you said. If you can do that and you can draw attention with a Joe Harris and a Seth Curry and Kevin Durant and Kyrie, well, all of a sudden, this very specific role that you serve is that much more valuable on this type of team.
For sure, because this is where, like, sort of modern basketball, again, we don't need to think about these guys as point guards. Like, Jokic is one, right? Draymond is one. Like, these are guys, I know we're going to the very highest level. To some degree, Giannis is one, too. Like, he's got so much gravity around him that it makes it easy for him to find passes. But look at how much better his game has gotten when he is able to make the right reads. LeBron's always been great at this, right? Even before he was labeled a point guard like he has been the last couple of seasons. So, it doesn't need to be a traditional point guard as this person. It just needs to be up person that recognizes the role. The Nets clearly did not have this at all, right? They didn't have anything even close to this kind of archetype of player. They got a little bit out of it, like out of the guards at times. Their bigs were terrible at it, so no one thought they'd be good at it, so that's not their fault. But they were just lacking this other guy. And I think that we have seen enough evidence from Simmons in the past that he's been able to play this role. Like, he crushes it in the regular season when the matchups aren't going to be as stringent. What it looks like in the postseason, I'll just going to take a wait and see. But for sure, we've seen his ability to do that because, one, he's got excellent vision. Two, he's huge, so he can pass over most matchups that get him in, especially if you try to get him in the perimeter. Like, he just has good court vision around that anyway. And three, he has one weapon, at least at his disposal, which is he's really good at finishing around the rim in traffic because of his size, that does make you actually have to respect him when you have other shooters on the court. We saw huge evidence of this when he played minutes without Joel Embiid, where it looked like he was like an all-NBA guy because he was able to just kind of play Ben Simmons and shooters and the team looked pretty damn good. And this is the dream of Simmons because, again, I'm just going back to the piece before. It's like everyone wants to say, hey, we need a 3-and-D guy. We need this athleticism. That is all true. But really for their offense to work, they need someone that can recognize where players are in space because you have two of the best guys at it that can finish in those situations. They just lacked every time. They lacked a way to get it into optimal situations. Simmons isn't going to walk the ball up the court and like call out every read, but at least in like the chaos and stuff, he'll be able to make reads. And I think at the worst, that's a better situation for the Nets, right?
Like, and that's the extension of that is to your point. You look across this roster, it's not just like, even talk about when we take a look and say you have another player in Thomas, the rookie, and you're excited about what he can do for this team offensively. But again, he's not that guy. He's not a guy that's going to be running your offense for you. Bruce Brown playing these pseudo roles. Okay, he used to be a point guard, but he's not that guy. He's not setting up the offense for you. When you had Goran Dragic, it was like that, I think, was the light bulb moment. Ah, right? Like, this is what this team is lacking as much as anything. Size and 3-and-D wings was a guy that just knows those reads to make and is willing to do those things. They don't have that, not even at the highest level of a Ben Simmons. They don't have that anywhere else on this roster at this point. So it's as much about, can Ben Simmons be that guy at the top and be a part of that big, you know, the new big three? And then also, you got to go look for these type of players out there on the market as well. Because, I almost wonder a little bit if that was kind of the intention of Javon Carter when they brought him in, right? Defensive guard, but that can run the point and could have done some of that for you. Never even got a chance to get off the ground. But I think the Nets already knew they needed it before they traded James Harden, before this thing took on an entirely new role. They knew they needed more players like that. They just weren't able to get them.
Yeah, and like I said, like, it doesn't even need to, I agree with you. I think they knew they needed other, like, secondary ball handler or primary ball handlers. Like, just other guys that could just, because they don't want these guys dribbling the ball up the court, it lends to too much stagnation. Go ahead.
And just like 3-and-D players, right? Like, they knew they needed it, and you don't just walk out and grab them. Like, they don't, you know, you don't get the perfect version of these players that you go, oh, by the way, they were available for the vet minimum. It worked out so good for us, you know?
Well, right, and this is why you need Simmons to be it, because you're not going to walk out in the street. I mean, again, we'll get into free agents this year. It's a total disaster. So it's not, and not like the Nets can sign any of these guys anyway, because like any of the good ones, because they're just so far into the cap. So it's, we don't need to worry about it. But Simmons is that guy. And like I said, in this I still want to make sure that everyone's like understanding this. In this traditional NBA, they don't need to be the walk up the court point guards. Like, sometimes that's worse. Sometimes you see some of these other teams, going away from that, like, you know, having Jay Crowder dribble the ball up for the, because they want to get Chris Paul into a secondary action, right? We don't, these little things, like Scotty Barnes played this role to some degree for the Raptors when Fred VanVleet went down, when he basically became their point guard, right? This is, there are lots of examples of, this can be a non-traditional or by, you know, old tradition way of looking at things. It doesn't have to be that guy. We don't need to go shop for a traditional point guard. It wouldn't hurt, by the way, but it doesn't need,
if
it doesn't,
we're picking things up at the store,
it
might as well.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't need to be, but Simmons, like that connection piece, especially when things start breaking down on the defensive end, like this, that in theory, it should be super deadly because we've seen evidence that this guy understands these kinds of reads. Like he's excellent vision. He was a 9 assist a game guy at one point when Embiid was down. Like this is a guy that can really, really do this. It's been a long time and he's gotten dragged pretty hard before since then. But this, that version of him is definitely the version the Nets were trading for. And so to realize it, like, you know, can Kyrie Irving lead the team? That was the initial question. Yeah, definitely. That's a definite thing, but they are going to need these other things, like to unlock the full potential. It's going to need this other piece because I think it's very clear that they just need that at this point.
And because ultimately, too, it's like when they're at their best is I want Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant. And again, expectations are these guys can go 48 minutes if they need to. We also have the sample size that when you have these guys go 48 minutes doing everything on the court for you, at a certain point, the bottom falls out a little bit and they don't have enough left in the tank. I need it to be that Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant in the final 5 minutes of a fourth quarter can go, guess what? I have it in my tank right now to take over and be dominant because we've been playing more balanced basketball for the first 43 minutes. That's why we get to be at this point now. And I think sometimes you can lose sight of, and this is, we said it throughout this episode, right? You lose sight of, well, you have the best players, just be better. Yeah, but the wear down impact of having to grind like the Boston series, yeah, just get beat up Kevin Durant for 48 minutes. Also, score 40-plus points and be dominant on both ends of the floor. It usually doesn't work out that way, and that's why players like these do become so valuable. And obviously, I'm just going to, for the receipts purposes, man, the Phoenix Suns will have a qualifying offer, a little north of $5 million on Aaron Holiday. Go look at his per 36-minute stats. He's the type of low-hanging fruit player that you wouldn't think about that suddenly would be capable of north of 7 assists in a game if you wanted to plug and play him a little bit. That's where you want to be shopping at the market, my friend.
I still rather get 35 minutes out of Ben Simmons. We talked about the beginning of the podcast. Maybe this is a tease because I think we thought we were going to get here. We didn't. We talked about a number of players that I would put on the team before Kyrie Irving. Yep. That was in the beginning, and I think we're going to end up running out of time here. So I will just say that number was 20, and just everyone can get at me after what it is. And we'll go through it next podcast or over the course of this week about why I came up with that number. But I'm only saying it there because we said it at the beginning. I think it was definitely where we thought we were going to go here, and we just didn't end up doing it. No big deal. I put that number right around 20. I will be happy to give that list. If anyone asks and you two, I'll throw it out there, and we can debate it. There's a couple close calls. There's some that are pretty easy. I thought 20 was a nice round number on that one. That was age and contract independent. It was just dudes. I'd just go one for one swaps. So that's where I landed on Kyrie. We will be back again later.
His word puts it out there, even though we can't flesh it out. I had the number. It's going down.
No, I have the list. I'm just not going to read the whole thing right now. I have the list in front of me. Anyway, I'll read it on another podcast. So you can stay tuned for when I do read this list on later on in the week. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can try to guess what 20 players those are. Make sure you like and subscribe where the podcast is. Those are the ways you help the show totally free to keep us coming at you for free. Those are the ways you help the podcast. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Sudden shifts and changes can be not bad preparation for life. Twist of words from Charlie Dickens.
Oh, RIP, one of the all-time great poets. We'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.